Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Radio Show, the Special Counsel Subpoena Tuesday edition. Dominic, we got a fine guest right from the top here of the 5 o'clock hour. He's my congressman, our friend Mark Pocan. Mark, welcome back to the Devil's Advocate, sir.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Glad
Mark,
to be here.
Dying to ask you the question. Have you seen the taxes? Did you bring the taxes? Could you leave Dom and I a copy of the Trump taxes, Mark?
No, sorry. Right now, I think it's above my pay grade, not my committee. So we have them. And, you know, I think how that information gets out will be interesting. And, you know, if Donald Trump's not having a good couple months, right, and this may just add to that final exposure of what he is.
Mark, we understand from reporting at the Washington Post that Wisconsin county election officials have been subpoenaed by the new special counsel. And we knew that, you know, there was a pressure campaign going on with Trump and Trump's allies. We also know, Mark, or at least it's been widely reported, that there was a effort afoot to create an alternative slate, a fraudulent slate of Trump electors. Mark, I've been, you know, trying to do my own little pressure campaign on the Attorney General of the state of Wisconsin. Apparently, we've got to look to the federal DOJ for this. But, Mark, do you think we're going to get to the bottom of the false Trump electors and those that perpetrated a fraud here in our state, sir?
You know, I hope so, because clearly they knew it was a fraud. You know, they had to get a secret little room in the Capitol to do their little fraudulent activity. And then we know Ron Johnson, even if only for a few seconds, was part of the fraud. He was clearly part of the fraud as he was considering handing these fake electors to the vice president. So, you know, I'm glad the Department of Justice is doing what they're doing. And at the end of the day, we may find there were some county officials that, you know, might not have been up to their jobs. We might know more about the electors and how much they knew this was a scam, and we might even learn more about Ron Johnson's seconds of illegal activity than maybe they amount to more than seconds like he's professed.
Seconds, minutes, hours. Congressman Mark Pocan, our guest. You know, it doesn't really matter. Let's make it up as they go. Mark, I initially wanted to talk to you today about the Respect for Marriage Act. I was hopeful that it would pass the House. Where do we stand on that legislation right now, Mark?
Yeah, it's going to go through the House. You know, we've had a few things that I think have set the week off. We still were in some of our leadership elections for the Democratic majority, and also one of our members passed away, and there's a funeral service tomorrow. So I just think it's a matter of it'll get on the calendar either this week or next week. We're absolutely doing it. We already did it. Don't forget, you know, the Senate came back with something that, you know, remarkably similar. But I have no question that not only will it pass, but, you know, Mike Gallagher from Wisconsin told me that he will support it. And he thinks there'll be another 20 plus people that will support it in the version that came from the Senate.
Mark, I understand Republicans are trying to slide some amendments onto the Respect for Marriage Act as it pertains to religious liberty. What do you know about that?
I don't think it's going to go through any different than the way it went through the Senate. I mean, it already has been amended, and beyond this will just be cover for people to, you know, hide their bigotry. There's no way with us in the majority that that's going to happen. So, grifters are going to grift. And in this case, I think there's some people who just don't want to admit that they don't support the marriage laws in this country for people of same sex and people who are in interracial marriages. And, you know, that's really sad that that's where we're at.
Mark, you mentioned perhaps little delays in getting this act floor to a vote. The new leadership, though, I want to ask you your opinion. Hakeem Jeffries, a new crew, some big shoes to fill. Nancy Pelosi not running for leadership again. What's your assessment and how you think the team's going to work here in the next couple of years?
I'm very excited. You know, I got a chance. I gave the seconding speech for Hakeem Jeffries. And, you know, he is someone who came in my class. When we were freshmen, we did the Progressive Caucus Special Order Hour, and I love telling the story that he'd always say that the audience on C-SPAN for our Special Order Hour was likely his wife and my husband, and I like to say he was being generous, you know, but we would do that on behalf of the Progressive Caucus, talk about issues, and the amazing part is, you know, at the end, I would grab my binder full of facts and figures, And he would walk away from the podium with nothing. He really had a grasp of the facts on the top of his head. He's an amazing speaker, doesn't need notes, rarely has any kind of a written formal speech, and yet he's just great in giving persuasive speeches. He's going to be very strong. The number two person, Catherine Clark, is my seatmate on appropriations. We sit next to each other through the old process every year, and she's going to be amazing. So, you know, we've got a good team coming in, and I think also having the generational change is important as we talk about Democratic values going to 2024.
Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We got a fine guest, my congressman, our friend, Mark Pocan, live via phone. So, Mark, let's look across the aisle. This legislative majority ends for the Democrats, unfortunately, on January 3rd. But will there ever be a Speaker Kevin McCarthy, to your opinion, Mark?
There will be, but I think an awful lot of popcorn will be eaten in watching this crazy process to that point. I got to feel like it's going to be quite a show, and I plan on enjoying the Republicans in disarray over this. I mean, you know, there already are a number of the more conservative, the Q type members of their caucus that are speaking out against him on the floor, which is crazy. And I think it's going to be a very interesting thing to watch.
Now, Mark, is there any chance that any Democratic member would help McCarthy bridge the gap? Because behind McCarthy, as far as Republican leadership would go, are guys like Grothman and Chaos. Is there any chance the Dems help him get across the finish line, or do you let him swing in the breeze, Mark?
I think it would be unlikely. I mean, the only way is if he actually can't get the votes from his own caucus, which would be, you know, pretty much unheard of. You know, if he actually would give committee chairmanships to Dems and things like that, possibly, but I don't think anyone's seriously entertaining that as an option.
Well, Mark, the point that Kevin McCarthy is seriously entertaining as an option is making people like Marjorie Taylor Greene into committee chairs. The gavel will go with the majority. And Mark, there will be investigations ad nauseum, probably mostly of Hunter Biden's laptop. What do you think governance looks like for the next 2 years, Congressman? Do we move budgets forward? Do we, you know, govern by continuing resolution, or do we see stoppages of governance?
I think the real question is, you know, how can they govern given, you know, they have as tight a margin as we did, but we had, you know, people who in general want to pass things, who have good values, who had a Democratic president in office. They don't have any of those things. So I think it is going to be quite interesting to see how they proceed. And, you know, again, from watching it so far, it's not looking especially organized.
Mark, do you think that, and everything's politics, man, we do this every day, we're talking politics. Mark, do you think that actually potentially favors the Democrats as we swing back to a presidential year? I mean, do you think the stark example of how Republicans intend to govern would be enough to turn the people out in 2024 for Team Blue?
There's no question that Marjorie Taylor Greene is going to be calling a lot of the shots. right? Because he, you know, Kevin McCarthy is going to have to let everyone in that caucus be heard because of his tight margin, and he doesn't really believe in that much himself, other than he believes he should be the speaker. So that's going to be the difficulty. And really, now that we've seen these gerrymandered districts with the new redistricting, we know how we can play more of these. So I actually feel we're in a very good position to take the majority in 2024 with the increased presidential level turnout. And I'm excited to, as we're moving forward, to get that done.
Well, it seems like the Democrats have held the Senate majority. Hopefully we pick up one and get the power of committee chairmanships on the Senate side. But Ron Johnson's feeling a little left out, Mark, and apparently he's offering his cooperation with the House investigations. Do you think Ron will reach out to you, Mark?
I think he has got a CB radio that has contact with lots of galaxies, and I wish him the best in his investigation.
Well put, Mark. In the last 60 seconds that we have with you, sir, I'd like to hear your comments on Donald Trump, of course, a previous president, now the only one claiming he's running for president 2024, went on his Truthy Social, said he would terminate the Constitution. I haven't seen a whole lot of pushback specifically from too many members. A few people have spoken out. Mark, what's your sense of the leading Republican for the 2024 presidential right now wanting to terminate the Constitution?
I mean, it's just a continuation of the crazy world that Donald Trump started, you know, going down throughout his presidency, and even after he lost, he really took a deeper dive. So, you know, I think the real challenge is whether or not Republicans are going to stick with him. We're seeing a lot of signs that they're realizing how much of a liability he was in November, and they may be looking to DeSantis and others to be the real replacement. The problem is Donald Trump's still going to be very popular in Republican primaries, so they have a year to get their acts together. And, you know, from what we saw of Kevin McCarthy after the insurrection, when he went and kind of forgave and kissed the ring of Donald Trump, I don't know if they'll be able to pivot quick enough or effectively enough to save themselves.
Mark, do you have a favorite in the darling race? I kid, it's Knodel and Janelle Branchon. We'll find a Dem, Mark, I promise. Congressman, thanks for coming around.
That sounds like a good plan. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark.
More Devil's Advocates on the other side. We'll be right back.
1, 2, that you wanna.
You're listening to the radio show your mother warned you about, The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Your calls are welcome at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, want to thank our most recent guest, the fine one, Mark Pocan, my congressman, our friend, never long enough with Mark. But we'll give you a little bit of time, depending on who you are. I like Gary from Madison, so we'll take him next. Welcome, Gary. How are you doing?
Hey, Gary.
I'm doing fine, thank you. Good evening. I was hoping that we might hear a word from Mark, but for all those listening, if anybody's signing on to Medicare or still has another day in this Medicare open enrollment period, I encourage people to dial into the site Physicians for National Health Program, who've been dealing with the Medicare so-called Advantage, a private healthcare system that was set up under George Bush's reign to help privatize Medicare. Physicians for National Health Program have been pretty keen on identifying all the issues, have a great deal of information on their site. I understand that even that Mark is one of the leaders, Mark Pocan is one of the leaders in helping to deal with this situation. I think about half the people on or entering Medicare at this point are in the private insurance program called Medicare Advantage programs, plural, and there is an abundance of them. They use the money from the government to advertise, which is why you see the television and fancy slick postcards and mailers if you're becoming eligible, and that's where the money goes. It doesn't come to you when you're in your elder years every time you need it. There's a great deal of denial. Something like nearly 20% of expenses are denied, and this throws people into poverty. But thank you for having him on. It's always a treat to hear him on your network. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Gary. Always a treat to have you on as well. Thanks for listening.
I appreciate it, Gary. Mark Polkan did tweet out, and I just retweeted it as well, that the Medicare open enrollment deadline tomorrow. You could check it out on Medicare.gov to compare plans, according to Congressman Polkan. Thanks, Gary.
Dominic, our friend James Santel questions the wisdom of the January 6th committee making criminal referrals, because he feels like the Department of Justice doesn't need their referral to see where the criminality might lie. But I think they do so, Dom, in no small part to sort of bring the American people's attention to what they allege is the criminality of the Trump people. Now, The Associated Press reporting today, the House committee investigating the J6 attack will make criminal referrals to the Justice Department. The House committee investigating the J6 attack on the U.S. Capitol will make criminal referrals to the Justice Department as it wraps up its probe and looks to publish a final report by the end of the year. I want it now, Dom.
I want it now.
According to the panel's chairman today, Rep. Benny Thompson, Dem from Mississippi, told reporters that the committee has decided to issue the referrals recommending criminal prosecution, but did not disclose who the targets will be, Trump, or if former President Donald Trump will be among them. Yes, he will, I suspect, Dom. Yes, he will. Liz Cheney, if nothing else, will make sure that is the case. Here's what Thompson told reporters at the Capitol. At this point, there will be a separate document coming from me to the Department of Justice. Thompson said the committee is meeting later today to discuss the details. The committee has determined that referrals to outside entities should be considered as a final part of its work. A spokesperson for the select committee told the AP, the committee will make decisions about specifics in the days ahead. Now, Dom, is this redundancy unnecessary? The January 6th committee has done its own independent investigation. They're accused constantly by Trump of, you know, being a witch hunt, being a political prosecution of him. And of course, we remember, despite the fact that Kevin McCarthy did have the chance to impanel members, just not Jim Jordan, he pulled them all back. And Nancy Pelosi then reached across the aisle and made Adam Kinzinger and, of course, Liz Cheney, Republicans, on the committee.
A bipartisan committee.
Well, only from everyone's point of view if you're not a Republican.
I mean, when you have Republicans on the committee, by definition, it is a bipartisan committee. And of course, McCarthy, in his great wisdom, left open the opportunity for the Dems and the Republicans on the committee to put forth arguments without grandstanding and pausing and all the BS that people like Jim Jordan would interject into the conversation to try to, you know, keep people from paying attention and following along.
Dominic, I had heard, but do not see reported here by the Associated Press, that there might be one more public committee hearing, one more J6 hearing in conjunction with the release of the final report. And I would make a commitment to you and the audience, Dom. We'd play that hearing right now.
I think so. Absolutely. And I think it's
gavel
wise.
To gavel.
Is it redundant? I mean, I guess, sure. There's different purposes to the J6 committee versus what the mission of the Department of Justice is, right? So I think to keep the focus on this, to put a bow on it, because at the end of the day, if they do not do a referral, well, then people like Trump are going to just come back and say, oh, look, all this time and money and spent and nothing there. So I think you do it for, you know, marketing purposes, if nothing else, and you keep this topic in front of the American people. I would love to see one more committee hearing when they release the report and when they decide, you know, who they're going to refer to the DOJ. I think that's important because I think the DOJ is going to be following up swiftly because there's many investigations going on right now, as we know, many grand juries and panel.
Well, Dom, another headline breaking today. Trump Organization convicted of tax fraud perpetrated by two longtime executives. Guilty on all charges.
What? All charges. What? Also breaking, water is wet, fire is hot, and a bunch of other stuff you learned in kindergarten is also true. Rep. Malcolm Kenyatta tweeted out today.
Dominic, we are the devil's advocates. It's the happier happy hour. It rolls on with your phone calls. 844-967-2789. Be a part. It's more fun that way.
Think you know politics? Think again. Welcome to the Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, rolling through the happier happy hour now with more cowbell and a response from the former president. Have you seen it, Dom? I got it for you and the audience.
I got an email from the former guy, Crudy. He's very disappointed.
Manhattan witch hunt! All caps. Disappointed with the verdict in Manhattan, but will appeal after looking at millions of pages of documents over many years, much to the detriment of record-setting murder and other forms of violent crime that are taking place in New York City. The government was able to get an employee to plea in order for a very reduced sentence. This case was about Alan Weisselberg committing tax fraud on his own personal taxes, etc., with he and every witness repeatedly testifying that President Trump, he's speaking of himself in third person, Dom, and the Trump family knew nothing about his actions. That's not really what he testified to, Dom, hence the conviction of the Trump org. About his actions, which he admits were done solely for his own benefit, with no benefits to the two companies.
Not true. The fact that they structured the payments like they did, they saved on payroll taxes, if nothing else.
Why would corporations, which knew nothing about Weisselberg's personal tax returns, be prosecuted for that person's conduct? There was reliance, all caps, reliance. He wants you to know he's reliant upon others, Dom, by us for then highly respected and expensive accounting firm and law firm to do this work. The accounting firm also did his personal returns, which we are not even allowed to legally view. This case is unprecedented and involved no monetary gain to these two corporations. It is a continuation of the greatest political witch hunt in the history of our country. New York City is a hard place to be. Trump. And he puts himself in quotes. Trump. As businesses and people flee our great city. Exclamation point. From the office of Donald J. Trump. 45office.com. Find it there yourself. So, Manhattan witch hunt.
Shayna Jacobs reporting at the Washington Post. Former President Donald Trump's namesake company was convicted of tax crimes committed by two of its longtime executives after a Manhattan trial that gave jurors a peek at some of the inner workings of the Trump Organization's finances. The real estate hospitality and golf resort operation, headquartered at Trump Tower on Fifth Avenue, faces a possibility of a $1.6 million fine. The New York Supreme Court jurors began their deliberations midday on Monday. The company was charged with a scheme to defraud, conspiracy, criminal tax fraud, and falsifying business records. Prosecutors built the case largely around longtime Trump Organization CFO Alan Weisselberg, who pleaded guilty in August to 15 counts, including tax fraud, conspiracy, and grand larceny. He was promised a steeply reduced sentence of 5 months in jail in exchange for testifying against the company. He had faced up to 15 years in prison. McConaughey, who admitted in his testimony of committing crimes, was granted immunity under New York law because he was called by prosecutors as a grand jury witness in the case. In his testimony, Weisselberg detailed how he and the company's controller, McConaughey, schemed to cheat state and federal tax authorities over a 15-year period beginning in 2005. Weisselberg used the company to cover major personal expenses like rent for a luxury apartment on the Hudson River, Mercedes-Benz leases for himself and his wife, and private school tuition for his grandchildren. In some instances, he paid the company back for personal expenses, which allowed him to use pre-tax compensation illegally. Other expenses were paid for by the company, but not reported as taxable income as required by tax laws. Prosecutors argued the conduct of Weisselberg and McConney made the company criminally liable. Two Trump Organization entities, the Trump Corporation and the Trump Payroll Corporation, were on trial. Both were found guilty on all charges. Lawyers for the entities argued Weisselberg had no intent to help the company, only himself, and that the prosecutors did not successfully prove there was corporate liability. Prosecutors argued the company saved on their Medicare tax responsibility and benefited in other ways from the scheme. Manhattan DA's office, Crudy, and I believe he was just on MSNBC, so there was an interview with the Manhattan DA's DA today. The office also argued at the close of the case that Trump had personal knowledge of the tax cheatings carried out by his executives. At one point in his summation, Assistant District Attorney Joshua Steinglass pointed to a document that had been initialed by Trump and called it explicit proof of his knowing that his executives were tinkering with expenses to reduce their tax liabilities. Trump has not been charged with wrongdoing. In a recent social media post, he denied having knowledge of the crimes Weisselberg and McConney committed. Now, my understanding, my reading of this, and some of the pundit lawyers out there suggesting that now that this corporation has been, these corporations have been convicted of these fraudulent tax crimes, that somehow now this is going to wind up Alvin Bragg, the Manhattan DA, who just brought in a former deputy of Tish James into his office. Again, he was interviewed today. I haven't seen the result of that, but I'm sure we'll get to it tomorrow.
Yeah, you call me when the indictments roll and we'll declare it Alvin Bragg Day, but I'm not holding my breath. I'm just saying.
Alvin Bragg just won, dude. I mean, are you kidding me? Just give the guy his due. They just nailed the guy, Trump Organization, on 17 counts of tax fraud, man. I mean,
but they failed to charge the principal.
Yes, take the victory and let's see where it evolves from here.
I didn't say we wouldn't take the victory, but he chose not to charge the man personally on a criminal matter, talking about the DA Alvin Bragg you seem so enamored by, despite the fact he brings civil charges against Alan Weisselberg that the former president can claim is for Alan Weisselberg's benefit. And these fines will not end the Trump Organization. Now, the $250 million being sought by Letitia James, that'd be a game changer. This is a hors d'oeuvre on my way to the main
course. The assistant DA specifically said in their summations and wrapping up this case, which was victorious for the people of New York, 17 count conviction, said that Trump had, they have explicit proof that Trump knew about what was going on. I mean, here you go. Hand it off to the next case, man.
And I mean, when they bring those indictments,
don't you see the laying of the planting of the seed corn here, Crudy?
I can't wait for the January 6th committee to offer criminal referrals to the DOJ as well, Dom. Thank goodness we've got these handoffs, but when we have some freaking indictments, I'll do some celebrating up around here. 844-967-2789. Donald Trump. Dom, we've taking a little bit of issue with this whole termination of the Constitution thing.
Yeah, just a bit.
I see the minority leader over on the Senate side, and despite the great chances Team Vampire and Herschel Walker have going to Georgia, it's still going to be a Democratic majority, even if Herschel pulled it out of his you-know-what.
He won't. He can't.
No,
God, he can't.
He will not. So Mitch McConnell is the minority leader under the best of circumstance. And he had something to say today about Donald Trump and terminating the Constitution. And I don't like playing this, man. You know I don't like him, Dom. But for once, let's play it for the people. Ebone, with your help. Mitch, don't call him Turtle McConnell. Play it.
It'd be pretty hard to be sworn in to the presidency if you're not willing to uphold the Constitution.
Oh, would that get in the way? You supported him the last time, McConnell, I'm just saying, and you know he was always willing to throw out the U.S. Constitution for his own benefit, talking about Trump, of course. We've got some sound of Nancy Pelosi. There was congressional gold medal medals, multiple gold medals,
a ceremony,
issued in honor of both the courageous Capitol Police officer and the Metropolitan Police in the January 6th, and those, of course, that were fallen. And the Brian Sicknick family had the chance to face down Mitch McConnell today, Dom, and I don't know if you saw the press reporting. but they made a point of not shaking the Senate Minority Leader's hand.
Or Kevin McCarthy.
Well, that's understandable. No one wants to shake McCarthy's hand. Here is Nancy Pelosi on the Congressional Gold Medal. If you would, please, Ebone, play cut 10.
In accepting this medal, you bring luster to this award, just as you bring luster to the Congress and the Constitution of the United States.
More from, well, still Speaker Pelosi for a bit longer, about a month, cut 11.
May this medal, the highest honor that Congress can bestow, serve as a token of our nation's deepest gratitude and respect.
More from Nancy Pelosi. I'm not sure if a couple of her colleagues across the aisle have the deepest respect for our Capitol Police officers, Dom. Or they'd be, anyways, play Nancy. Cut 12, please.
January 6th was a day of horror and heartbreak, yet is also a moment of extraordinary heroism.
Lucky 13, more Nancy Pelosi, please.
We award the Congressional Gold Medal to the heroes of January 6, 2021. In doing so, we honor their extraordinary service and sacrifice for courageously answering the call to defend our democracy in one of the nation's darkest hours.
A little bit more, Nancy Pelosi, and we'll take your calls here as well. 844-967-2789. Let's keep her rolling. Speaker Pelosi, cut 14.
On behalf of the United States Congress and the American people, it is my honor to present the Congressional Gold Medal to the United States Capitol Police, the Metropolitan Police, and every hero of January 6th from every agent that responded that day.
And according to Speaker Pelosi, they helped ensure democracy survival. Sort of a big accomplishment, I think. Play cut 15, please.
Staring down deadly violence and despicable bigotry, our law enforcement officers bravely stood in the breach, ensuring that democracy survived on that dark day.
844-967-2789.
And though well-deserved congressional gold medals for those who protected the Capitol and, of course, the people in it. It wasn't all roses, though. Sarah Burris reported the raw story. Former officer Michael Fanone said he was heckled by members of the Washington, D.C. Metro Police Special Operations Division who were at the January 6th Gold Medal Award ceremony on Tuesday for officers and their families who defended the Capitol. Former counterintelligence officer to the FBI, Frank Figliuzzi, was furious. Here's what he had to say on MSNBC. This is the real disgrace. The issue is the culture that still continues at the police department in the District of Columbia. These were true heroes, honored for fighting for democracy. If the Special Operations Division don't understand what a hero is, don't understand what it means to fight for democracy, they need to find another job. They can start with the donut shop that they hang out at every single morning. They can apply for jobs there. Fanone told NBC reporter Ryan Riley this. They called me a piece of S and mockingly called me a great effing hero while clapping. Apparently, the incident happened in the Capitol Rotunda outside the event, where they also claimed he didn't belong at the ceremony because he wasn't a cop anymore. Fanone told Peter Herman at the Washington Post this. I mean, at the end of the day, if those people are too ignorant to understand what I've been advocating for these past 2 years and the fact that I had a lot to do with us being here today, then F them. He also explained that he doesn't bring his family to ceremonies like that anymore because he doesn't want people to attack them. Speaking more about the issue, Figliuzzi said that the chief of police should announce an internal affairs investigation into the actions to get to the bottom of who the hecklers were and then fire the officers. Another quote, because it's unacceptable and it gets to a larger issue of continuing culture and law enforcement that starts at the top. As the chief can't figure it out, the chief can get another job. So Fanone heckled by some of his own men in blue.
Dominic, the family members, a police officer who died as a result of the January 6, 2021 attack on the U.S. Capitol, refused to shake hands with Republican leaders at a ceremony awarding law enforcement the Congressional Gold Medal. Gladys Sicknick, the mother of U.S. Capitol Police Officer Brian Sicknick, said GOP leaders' commitment to promoting Donald Trump's false narratives about the insurrection that led to her son's death has taken priority over assisting the some 140 law enforcement officers injured during the attack. According to the district's medical chief medical examiner, Sicknick died of natural causes one day after suffering two strokes while confronting members of the violent mob that attempted to overturn the 2020 presidential election. Sicknick's mom told CNN, "They're just two-faced. I'm just tired of them standing there and seeing how wonderful the Capitol Police is, and then they turn around and go down to Mar-a-Lago and kiss his ring and come back. It just hurts." Yeah, I bet it would. Somewhat disrespectful. Come back. More Devil's Advocates. Don't disrespect us. You can call us. 844-967-2789.
I would have gotten away with it, too, if it wasn't for those meddling Devil's Advocates.
It seems like every day. And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now. We'll get to the phones at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, got to be a homer just for a minute.
Yeah, okay.
My beloved Badgers are tipping off at 8 o'clock tonight against the undefeated Maryland Terrapins. Ranked 13th in the nation.
Ooh.
That game's here in Madison at the Kohl Center. A somewhat late tip, 8 o'clock tonight. And my youngest, he's got his first varsity wrestling match a little after 6 o'clock.
Ah, so nice.
Fly out the door, drive up the road, and see if I can catch him at a triple duel, Dom. He's down to 170 pounds.
I was going to ask, what's his weight? He's 170. Wow.
6'3". Yeah, like think of me, except super skinny.
Right.
I know it seems unfathomable that any crudy is 170 pounds. 170, told me this morning. He's been very disciplined in his dietary habits.
Oh, well done, young man.
See, that's why I played basketball, Dom. I was like 225 in my senior year in basketball.
Yeah? What are you pushing now?
No more than that. I'm actually a little lighter than I historically have been since pre-pandemic. I'm playing at pre-pandemic weights right now, Dom.
Oh, well done. All right, Curdy. There you go.
So that's down about 10 pounds for me. There is the black hole at Wisconsin Dells. If anyone's ever taken your kids to the Dells, and it's the Christmas holiday, and that's my tradition. I take my kids to the Dells. And my
go to
boys,
water parks and
yeah,
all that.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. I know you don't like them as much as my teenagers do.
Yeah, right.
They still like them, right? And then they've got the black hole. And you go up the big and you wait in line for like 45 minutes to go to the black hole. And then they publicly make you get on a scale. Do you know how humiliating it is to be rejected after you've waited in line for 40 minutes? You get up there and you're like, and literally the cutoff is 250 pounds. And I'm a big enough guy that 250 you know, over Christmas holiday, sure, 251.
Right, that's within cookie 249?
Range. 249, you don't know. So a couple of years back, I got rejected, man. I had to make the walk of shame back on the ramp at the black hole. And I've only made
Oh, man, I'd have just blown past, just run past him and jump down. And we're going to stop you. Just go, go, go.
Last couple times, I've made it, but only by a couple of pounds. I got like 10 pounds right now, man. I'm feeling pretty good about Christmas. You know, we got a Christmas party this weekend. You know, we're going to overindulge. So, you know, there'll be a couple of pounds there. And by the time Santa comes down the chimney, I'm going to look like him, Dom. That's my fear. And then I'm going to be humiliated publicly at the top of the water slide.
Come on, Curdy. Don't. You got to give cut yourself some slack. You're not going to like Santa. You can't grow a beard that fast.
Ho, 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 mofo.
844-967-2789. Dick from Madison, you're up. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Dick.
I love all that because I'm fighting the battle of the balls, too. I'm down to 232, guys.
Good for you, Dick.
All right.
That sounds like thanks fighting weight to me.
Well, but you know what? With you talking about 175, was it? Your son?
170 this morning. He's wrestling like 171, I think. He was prepared to make weight.
he must be like a super ripped version of you. You know, he's got to be.
Well, you can see his ribs. That's a difference.
But I think
ribs.
Is this Bragg guy the same guy? Kurti, I'm a little down with you. I'm not so sure about this guy.
Yeah, this guy had the good prosecutors on the team, and he failed to actually go after Trump in a courageous sort of way. And no doubt there is this criminal prosecution of the Trump org, but I mean, this really doesn't get at the root of even the underlying crime here. Now we understand they're going to hand it off and maybe there'll be more charges.
Yeah.
Well, why don't you level the charges in the first place and skip the civil trial?
That's the problem I have with the guy. And I just got to see him with Ari Milburn on, while I'm listening to you guys, and Kurt, you and I should feel real good about ourselves going into the holidays. Alvin looks like, I'm not going to call him Fat Albert, but he's close.
Hey, bah, hey, bah, hey, bah. Thanks, Stick, for listening, man.
But let's be clear, and thanks for the call, Dick.
Lots of steps.
It was criminal. I mean, the charges of the two Trump corporations were guilty of today, the 17 charges, were criminal charges.
But the allegations were...
But let me be clear. So now they have also in the evidence and set forth by the prosecutor closing statements that Donald Trump was explicit and knew, and they got the proof that it's the case. So now that they have the conviction, because listen, I will give them this, and I don't know either, man. I don't know Alvin Bragg from the last guy that was there, right? I don't know. But if you're looking to down and build a foundation, I mean, getting a guilty verdict on two organizations on 17 counts, and let's not forget, we also know that there was some information released about Trump having a $20 million loan with a North Korean company that we just found out about from this DA's office. So, yeah, I got you, man. But if you were going to be super, super careful, if I were to be super, super careful, I'd try to get the convictions on the 17 counts on the corporation, then find the evidence and take the next step then. I'm just saying. Pizza Box Mike, you have the last word today.
The special counselor looks badass. Nobody's calling him Fat Jack. You know what I mean? He looks lean, looks ready to prosecute.
Hey, man, I don't care what they look like. Just get the job done. Pizza Box Mike, we get the job done, baby. What do you got for us?
Hey, Michael.
Yeah, man. Hey, Kurti, high out the door at 6. Duh. Oh, it's 4:20. Hey, man. I got to tell you, I can't stand wrestling because I spent, I don't know how many years cutting weight and missing out on all those holidays. But good luck. It's a lot of fun, man, and it builds character.
No, it toughens them up.
Character.
You know, I played basketball because I was tall, and once upon a time I was skinny, but he somehow thinks he's going to convert that into wrestling. Good luck with that.
Set a goal to make the state meet and then find out what it takes to get there. But that's pretty cool, man. And speaking of reaching goals, I think Americans need to make that choice this year. If they're going to sit back and watch TV or get up and make things happen, man, you're going to watch a Congress that can't get nothing done. It's time for us to get it done.
Well, let's get it done, Pizza Box. Hey, Mike, I know you're a wrestler, man. What did you wrestle at? What was your weight when you were a young man?
119 my last 2 years in high school, and then 118 in college the next year. That doesn't make sense. Yeah, sucked ass.
Yeah, man, that's some lean living. You're a scrappy young man, Mike. Thanks for the call,
man. I bet you can see his ribs.
Ribs.
Thank you all for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. There might just be ribs later. Stick around. Native Roots Radio is next. Then, Educators Talking Education. Tim Slacker and Johnny Lupinacci doing Busted Pencils. And then the Rick Smith Show, 8 to 10. I'll update you on the big wrestling match tomorrow. And, of course, I'll be listening to the Badgers on the Civic Media app. WFHR, locally grown radio. Start there. Again.
Get her done.
You can do it.